All right, welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is somebody who avoided me today when I was live in the studio, and I walked past this person, and they did not recognize me, so I was gawking at them, Sugar Shane Peterson, gawking.
Well, define that word. I've never heard that.
Gawking. I was staring awkwardly like an incel or something like that, and this person refused to look at me through the glass, and now I refuse to talk to them until they apologize to me for making me look like a fool in front of management. A fool, Shane Peterson.
A true fool.
Jack, I truly didn't know until this moment in real time, in real life, that that was you.
Who did you think it was? It's just some, like, loser walking around?
I only saw the back of, were you with Brian? I think I saw the back of someone's head when you were walking away. And I literally, you have the talk back thing where you could talk to the producer, and I talked to Curtis, and I said, who was that, just looking in there? And he was like, I don't know.
I'm beyond hurt. I'm beyond hurt. I come in. I come into the studio. It's my 1 week to come into the studio for because of Delta stuff. And then I come into the studio and I'm saying hi to all these people that I've never met before. And Stacey is just like, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
I know. I'm devastated. I was so excited too. I went to Kyle's office and I said, oh my God, where's Jack? And he said, oh, I just saw him walking around here. And I said, well, tell him I'm here. And then I left like an hour later.
Okay. All right. Well, I was in a very important meeting discussing important things with management about some changes that need to be done around here and some of the staff.
Specifically with the sports side.
Specifically with the sports side. Stacey Jo Rost, are you familiar with Chet Hanks at all? Because I saw a story.
Am I familiar with Chet Hanks? Of course. Of course.
So I saw a piece on Chet Hanks, and for some reason I immediately thought of you, and I thought that you would love this story because it's a really funny YouTube channel called Channel 5 News, and it's a fantastic, fantastic YouTube channel.
Yeah, that's started by Andrew Callahan. He's a guy. He's a Seattle local, actually.
Hilarious. Hilarious A-plus stuff. And so he did a piece on Chet Hanks. And it's hilarious. And then I noticed something really weird in this piece with Chet Hanks. Because at a certain point in time, Chet Hanks gets really serious and he starts opening up about his past. And I learned things about Chet that are going to apply to Paris Hilton in ways that you could not possibly begin to imagine. So just as a quick introduction, Chet Hanks is the son of Tom Hanks and Rita. What's the last name, Stacey?
Wilson.
Rita Wilson. He is 30 years old, which means he's in my age bracket. We could have been bros back in the day, Stacey Jo Rost, all three of us. He kind of became internet famous last year, the first time I heard of him, when he spoke patois, which is Jamaican slang. And so this is what that sounded like. This is after he was at the Golden Globes and someone asked him, why do you speak patois? And this is what that sounds like.
Yo, big up the youth them way out of Kingston. Me wake up this morning and me see the thing turn up. Internet gone mad. Respect, you don't know. Me soon forward a yard. Booyaka, booyaka.
Booyaka.
I'm physically uncomfortable.
It's super cringe.
Chet Hanks doing this.
It's,
oh, God.
It's mega cringe. It's really awkward. And then we have another clip where he's talking about his relationship with his dad. Here's what that sounded like.
And it was really kind of like a double-edged sword. People assume, I mean, I just lived this life, like super privileged life, like Richie Rich, you know what I mean? And that just wasn't the case. And it was actually the opposite. They never gave me an allowance. I don't know if I'm the brokest rich kid or the richest broke kid. I love my mom and dad a lot, but it was kind of inevitable that I rebelled because they had me like on a really short leash.
He's like really...
Sorry.
He's really opening up, though, that he's exposing his soul to the world. Stacey Jo Rost, are you going to mock Chet Hanks over this?
I absolutely am going to mock Chet Hanks.
Nice.
Chet, you're telling me that, oh, I didn't get an allowance, and so I didn't grow up. Like, I am going to wager that you still grew up in a very, like, a wealthy neighborhood and went to very nice schools and still had an amazing support system and never wanted for anything. So I'm sorry you didn't get an allowance, Chet. I'm really sorry about that.
Okay, well, here's the part that piques my interest. And I need everyone, you know, Stacey, Shane, Zane, the dozen people who are listening right now, everybody pay attention to this, because this is where it gets really weird. This is Chet Hanks talking about being sent to a wilderness program. Here's what this sounds like.
I got sent away to a f***ing wilderness program when I was 17. It was 4 in the morning. The lights flip on. There's two huge dudes in my room, bodybuilder looking like bouncer types, bald heads. They're like, you're coming with us. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. And they just, you know, put me in the back of a car and drove me out to the middle of nowhere. This was in my junior year of high school, and I never returned.
Okay, so I heard that, Stacy, and then I went, where have I heard that before? From what other celebrity, high-level celebrity, have I heard that from, where as a child or as a teenager, they were kidnapped and taken to a wilderness camp? It was Paris Hilton, and here is what that sounds like.
My parents were scared, and they didn't want their reputations to be ruined, so I felt like I was just sent away to be hidden. There was no convincing them, no matter what I said. The last school that I went to was Provo Canyon School, and that was the worst of the worst. Some people in that place were just gone. Like, the lights are on, no one's home.
Staff were abusive. One thing I can say is that they tried really hard to break me, and they caused a few cracks.
A lot of people were on suicide watch, and I was so scared that was going to happen to me. And the only thing that saved my sanity was thinking about what I wanted to do and who I wanted to become when I got out of there.
So, Stacey Jo Rost, what is the deal with the wealthiest amongst us sending their beautiful children to be traumatized in the woods with strangers? Why is this occurring?
Well, I will say, okay, so Paris Hilton did a separate documentary, which was actually pretty interesting. I mean, people have your own opinions about Paris, whatever your opinions. The documentary itself highlighted what sounded like some very real abuse. Like, there were people that were not Paris Hilton that were talking about abuse there.
Right.
But overall, it's really interesting. There was also this... as you know, I love Meghan and Harry. And there was this story back when Harry was caught, I believe, smoking marijuana and was also sent to some kind of like rehab, like fake rehab. You know what I mean? When it's just meant to like scare rich kids. And that's exactly what it is. Like, it's just a way to, I'm excluding Paris from this conversation, which sounds like it was like a really weird place, but it's a way to just kind of like scare rich kids in a world where there aren't real consequences facing them. You know what I mean? It's like, we're gonna use our resources to send you to this thing to scare you straight, but in reality, like, you don't have to stay there, and we're gonna like take you back and you're gonna be fine. It's just, it's, I saw this interview that Chet had, and it really is just one of those things where I want to give everyone the space to have their own valid experiences, and whatever that might mean. Just because you grew up wealthy doesn't mean that you grew up in a perfect life. You might have your own problems, but the stuff he's complaining about is wild. And not only that, did it remind either of you guys about, like, did you ever watch Maury?
Oh yeah.
Okay. When I was a child, I grew up watching Maury every single day, which explains, in hindsight, a lot about myself.
Same.
And I would watch, and they had Dean West come out, and when they had bad kids, Dean would come out on the stage, and he would scream at them, and then they would send them to a boot camp. And I kind of wish that that's what happened to Chet instead of this.
What? Okay, this is my whole... This is so... You and Shane on the same page on this is disgusting to me. These are young children who are being dragged out of their home. I have an article from the Atlantic here from 2014 that says that this is at the time, right? This was written back. There are dozens of institutions similar to the ones that these children are sent to across America. They promise therapeutic treatment for teenagers who are engaging in drug use or other behavior frowned upon by their family or schools. Parents often hire transport agencies, which are charged with delivering the teens to their programs. Forcibly or otherwise, the industry has only reached mainstream popularity in the last couple of decades, and it's still controversial. So, but now we're beginning to see what these programs actually did to these kids now that they're in their 30s, you know, or late 20s, early 30s, where they're actually coming out and saying that was deeply traumatic for me.
So I was kind of under the impression that this was like summer camp. That they were just going out to like the wilderness. So no, they're being forced to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Chet and Paris were just complaining about having to go outside and do stuff.
No. So what they do?
Paris really was at a weird. Paris was at a bad place.
Ah.
Like that. I feel like the place she went to, there were other people that were testifying about it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so they hire a couple of guys to go to your house, and Paris talks about this in the documentary. The parents let these strangers in. And then they say, if they're nice parents, they say, we love you, we're doing this for the best of you, or whatever they say. And then these two big old beefy guys take you and force you into a van and take you to these wilderness programs. But if your parents hate you, then they just open the door and let...
Like Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks.
They just open the door and say, take little baby Chet Hanks to a place where he will be for 18 months, and then... 12 years later, he's speaking patois to millions of people, making a fool out of himself. So,
are you saying those two things are directly related?
Yes. What I am saying...
He picked it up at the camp.
Exactly. What I am saying is that all of the crazy behavior that we see from these kids of celebrities, I guarantee it, comes from our perception of them as being, you know, heirs to this massive fortune, but also the treatment that their parents gave to them. So I ask you this, Stacey Jo Rost, if you were more famous than you already are, let's just say that you're as famous as I am, let us just say, and you had children, would you want to expose them to the life of fame, or would you try to shield them from it?
I think I would try to shield them from it. I mean, I already, if I were to have children today, I would have to just shield them from my fame. But I think that what you run into no matter what is, and what I would imagine a lot of people do, is that there's just like going to be a privilege inherent to what you're doing. And that's fine. You worked really hard to get where you are, and you want to provide your kids with that. But I think that in some cases, now this is a different conversation to have for another day, because I know we don't have enough time. Privilege is always like this good thing that you have to be aware of. Like it very rarely like harms you more than it hurts you.
Right.
But I do think I have like heard 1,000,005 stories, as I'm sure you have. And the Paris Hilton one is kind of one of them, of places where, because of being in this very weird world that not a lot of people experience, there was still a level of harm done to that person.
So, in response to that, Stacey, I think that we should play, this is audio cut number 3, Shane. This is Chet Hanks talking about his frustrations in life.
Assume that because, like, my dad is super famous, that, like, everybody would, like, want to be my friend and be, like, kissing my ass. And that just wasn't the case. If I walk into a room and someone's like, oh, you know who that is? That's Tom Hanks' son. The logical reaction is for someone to assume that, like, I must be, like, a real cocky, arrogant, spoiled brat, like, piece of shit. Like, people were inclined to hate my guts. I just internalized it, and it just developed me to kind of, like, have a really negative chip on my shoulder and be very kind of, like, defensive, just on edge around, like, meeting new people.
Now I feel bad for Chet Hanks, and I want to be Chet Hanks's real friend, where we can hang out.
Oh, God, Jack.
We can hang out, and like we could just watch. We could watch Dragonheart together, and we could make popcorn, and we could, you know, we just hang out like bros, play Xbox, not the new one, but play the original Xbox. Like how?
Right, you're gonna be like Chet. I would give you an allowance. I would never not give you an allowance.
Yeah, Dad. You know what, Stacey? I'm gonna start. You know, a Big Brother program, the Catholic Big Brothers.
Yeah, you're going to do one for famous people or just Chet specifically?
No, famous people, because I want to make money doing it. So what I'm thinking is that the children of very famous people come to me, and I'm like their big brother, and I play Xbox with them, and we sit down, and we watch old Tony Hawk videos, and we and we like hang out. Yeah, we just like hang out.
It could also be... Yes, and it could also be, Jack, like a cautionary tale. You know what I mean?
Ooh.
Like, oh, like, because we could sell ourselves. I'm getting in on this now. I'm so ashamed. We could sell ourselves as people who are working with these rich families to scare their kids straight, and we think we're having fun and hanging out with the kids, and really the kids are walking into our homes and our apartments and going, "Where's your butler?" Like, and they're like horrified by it.
Yeah, no, I think that we're onto something here. I think we need to start an entirely new program for these rich kids. The weird thing about this though is that Tom Hanks seems like a totally normal human being, a totally normal dad. Seems like the kind of guy that doesn't hit his kids. I am a huge proponent of not hitting your children. I think that all the literature out there suggests that if you strike or hit your children, you're doing a terrible job as a parent. So my question is what causes Chet Hanks to be developed by Tom Hanks? Is it the absence of Tom Hanks being in his life? Is it the pressure of being one of the greatest actors of all time, son? Is it the pressure of not being as talented as your siblings are? I mean, there are so many things that come in to make a because Chet Hanks is a man child. I mean, he's a little boy in a man's body. So what makes that thing?
Now, to be a little more empathetic than I've been for the last like 15 minutes, I do think there's a level of like everything is relative, right? Like, for instance, I talk about athletes for a living and I see so many tweets about anyone. An athlete will break his leg and people will be like, whatever, he has $8 million. And like, there's just not a lot of empathy when money's involved, which I completely understand. But to try to apply that same defense that I've used to Chet Hanks in this case, I'll say that I think there's still, you can't protect yourself, no matter how much money you have, from any psychological impact that any normal person would have, like jealousy or insecurities or defensiveness or anger or whatever. And so, for instance, Chet is in a world, as are many other people, where you're being compared all the time, not just to your own parents and what that brings, but like his brother Colin is also an actor.
Right.
So it's like there's this, I would imagine that there is a lot of pressure. Like I had, my dad was a bartender. Like I had no pressure on me to like be the greatest thing ever in the world.
Yeah. No,
so it would be a different kind of pressure.
Yeah. And I also think that it must be weird to see people view your parent as this godlike figure and not having your parent just be your godlike figure, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you have to share him.
Yeah,
a
to
lot.
Have to share your parent.
Right.
Yeah, that's there's a comedian that I follow, Bert Kreischer. He's really open about how he tries to like really make sure he doesn't outstep the boundaries with his two daughters, because his daughters, he speaks out a lot. He goes, yeah, my daughters tell me how embarrassed they are when like people come up and approach me in public. You know, for different celebrities, it can be really hard.
Right, right. So I'm saying, Stacey, that, you know, fame for me, the level of fame that I am, you know, being that I'm literally world right. famous, literally the world around, and I lease my skill set to Cairo Knights out of the kindness of my heart.
Exactly right.
If I had kids, I would never want to film them in anything, put them in anything, feature them in anything. I would want to try to shield them from that as much as possible, so that there was a firm boundary there, that there's like dad time and then there's when dad is out, you know, making a fool of himself doing stuff on the internet. I would want that to be.
I think it just becomes so much harder when they're teenagers. Like when they're kids, you can do it. As they get older, how do you stop a teenager or young adult from, you know, talking with other people and seeing that life? It's why I always feel bad. Like, yeah, I feel bad actually for people whose parents are famous and therefore you watch like a divorce unfold in the public or whatever.
Right.
Like that kid sees all of that coverage.
Stacey Jo Ross, we're out of time, but you're the best as per usual. And hopefully maybe tomorrow you'll recognize my presence in the building and not totally ignore me. And treat me
I'll
like.
Look for the group of photographers following you.
No, just look for the guy who looks like he doesn't belong in the building, and that'll be the one. Stacey Jo Ross can be heard every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on 710 ESPN. And any other deets you want to give out, Stacey Jo Ross?
Oh gosh, no! I think you did such a great job. You're so
Thank
good
you.
At this, and also I'm not at all trying to make it up to you in any way with compliments.
Thank you so very much. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, you can ask us any question you like at 98973. That's 98973. The State Roofing text line. We'll be right back after this. This might be my new favorite band. What is this?
I saw this on the internet. It's called I Hate Love. It's a pretty good song.
Wow. Who sings this?
I don't know. I think it's what is it? Oh, wait a second. Hey, Catherine, is this you?
What?
What are
you talking about?
Is this?
I love love. What are you talking about?
Wow.
My love life's amazing.
Wow. This is such an... We're going to have to find out who this up-and-coming artist is, Shane Peterson.
I'll look more into it.
Okay, excellent. What we'd like to do 9:30 is you can ask us any question that your heart desires. 98973 is the State Roofing text line here on Cairo Nights. Catherine with a K. Federer. Sugar Shane Peterson, and myself, the world-famous Jack Stein. By the way, to our dozen listeners out there, we have a new one. A new one has just entered the chat.
Ooh.
Listener 13 asks, what's everyone's favorite song or go-to musical genre? Sugar Shane Peterson. I feel like you and I are on the same page with this. Probably going to say the same thing.
We're probably in the same ballpark. Pretty close. What's your answer?
So I'm really quite partial to really heavily produced, like, pop punk, pop music.
Yep.
You know, I could get down on a Katy Perry record, no problem. Taylor Swift. But at the same time, I want to listen to some stuff from Fat Records. I want to listen to stuff from Epitaph. I want to listen to all that whole, you know, genre of stuff. And yet, you know, I'll dip my toe to some classics. A little Joe Cocker, big fan.
Oh, yeah.
I like stuff that is also very organic. So I'm on both sides of the spectrum.
So beautiful.
Yeah, but not like he's dying, Catherine Federer. Like he really cared about it. So I like stuff that's also really stripped down and really basic. I'm a huge fan of the Ramones. I got a tattoo of the Ramones. I'm a huge fan of the Riverdales.
That's right on your face.
Yeah, it is. A huge fan of the Riverdales. And so, those are my genres right there.
I'm pretty much in the same ballpark. I like a lot of the pop punk stuff as well. But I think that if I had to go with a favorite song that kind of ties with the genre, I think probably my favorite song of all time is Salad Days by Minor Threat. I think is probably my favorite song, not because of how it necessarily sounds, but the meaning in the context behind the words of the song I relate with all too much. You know, On to Greener Pastures is one of my favorite lines of all
time.
Can
you sing it?
It requires a lot of screaming and a lot of anger.
Yeah.
But the lyrics is basically, waiting for the day when I first wore this suit, baby has grown older and it's no longer cute. It's a song about growing up and losing kind of your childhood innocence and your innocence with the world and realizing the true realities and the hardships of the world, but having the faith that you're going to make it on and you're going to go to better places.
So. And on that subject, Catherine with a K. Federer, we have Jean-Luc on the line.
Yay!
Pull him up.
Come on down.
No, I'm just kidding. We actually don't have Jean-Luc on the line, so that would have been pretty bad. Jack Stein, what instrument/instruments
did
you play?
You didn't ask me about my genre.
What
is this, just boys club over here?
Well, Catherine with a K, we already kind of know what your favorite genre is.
Oh, what is it?
It's your own music.
No, it's not. Music. It's actually 70s music.
Ooh.
James Taylor, Doobie Brothers,
wow.
America.
Okay, so you have bad taste.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. That is the best music ever made. A little Sinatra. Give me a little Billie Holiday. Give me a little Louis Armstrong.
Okay.
Give me a little Coltrane.
So Steve at Northgate is deeply upset about something about tax evasion. I'm sorry, Steve at Northgate. I'm not in the mood to talk about that.
It's the end of the night, man.
Yeah, but I mean, I can't help you with your tax problems, my friend. Jack Stein, what instruments did you play? Did you sing? I can play Git Fiddle. I'm having Joe Riggio construct the 72 Telecaster Deluxe. Hopefully I can have him on when it's completed.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. I think we need to find a way, because I know one of our engineering guys, shout out Vern, he knows how to connect guitars and instruments into our mainframe.
Ooh.
So one day we might need to have you plug in and give us a little ditty, Jack.
I will do that, so hopefully we can have Joe on and he can show off the Git Fiddle that I had reconstructed from my past, and I play bass and I can play piano. I used to be able to play drums, but I'd have to sit down for a couple of days to get back into it. I don't think I could. The coordination is something that was lost on me quickly.
I can see that.
So also 206 says, Catherine, they love your laugh. That terribly shrieking laugh.
You don't think it sounds crazy?
No, it sounds good. It's got a little bit of Kamala Harris to it. It's got like a little touch of that.
Okay, thanks. That's cool.
It's got like a little bit of the
thanks,
Kamala.
Thanks, whoever that is. Please send your picture and resume into Shane. I'm accepting all resumes.
So, someone asked, wants to know why I say everybody's first and last name. I feel like I've told this story a lot, Shane.
Yeah,
let's tell it again because I'm curious as well.
It's setting up the brand.
Okay, yeah. So basically it goes like
this. I like it.
The first guy that I did, the first like radio pro that I did radio with was a guy named Bill Graff. And he's been doing radio since, he did radio in Hawaii. He did it in the Midwest. I mean, the guy is like, he's been doing it his entire life. Like the day he turned 12 years old, he was working at a radio station. So he's also kind of kooky. And by the time I met him, he was almost like Doc Brown from Back to the Future. He was really like just all over the place, and he would get mad. He's very mercurial, loquacious.
Nice word. Another one. Whoa.
So he and I were doing radio for the very first time together, and he kept saying, he'd read the headline, and he'd go, Jack Stein, tell me what you think about that. And I said, why is this guy saying my first and last name? And so during the break, I went up to him and I said, hey, Billy, why do you keep saying my first and last name? And he goes, no one knows who you are, dude. You got to build the brand.
I like that.
And to this day, I cannot break that radio habit. So when I do radio with John Curley, I say John Curley. When I do it with Sherry Ellicker, I say Sherry Ellicker. I say Sugar Shane Peterson, Lisa Brooks. I refuse to stop doing it out of the love that I have for my very good friend, Bill Graff.
Thank you, Jack Stein.
You're very welcome. And also, I just love the way that my name sounds. I love it. I love it. And then it spreads like a virus. It spreads like a mental disease.
Because
then everybody in the building is like, Jack Stein. And I'm like, hey. So it's really an amazing, it's an amazing thing. So
what is in a name? Would a rose not smell as sweet as any other name?
Yeah, indeed. Someone says, stop. This is the same person who just keeps saying, stop doing it. No, I like Bill Graff and I'm going to keep doing it. Someone says, Git Fiddle is a guitar. I call guitars Git Fiddles because it's funny. It's funnier than just saying guitar, right?
Yeah. I really like this question right here from 253. What is your most common item that you look at but you never buy?
Oh.
That's a great question. I already know mine right off the start.
Yeah.
I have this serious problem with researching Jordan shoes and wanting to buy a pair of Jordan 1s, but I just don't have the money to go afford any of that. I look basically weekly seeing what new drops Nike has. Mm. But am I a sneakerhead like that? No. Do I want to be? Yeah. Do I have the funds? Defo not.
Right. I look at guitars frequently. For all kinds of guitars, custom built, boutique, regular, vintage. I look at all kinds of it. But do I buy? No. I mean, I could if I wanted to, but I'd be spending like thousands of dollars on a regular basis if I did that. Mm-hmm. I saw a great Les Paul. I almost bought a Les Paul before I took the weekend off. I was going to drop like $2,500 on this guitar.
Oh, God.
And then I was like, I went to my wife and I said, I'm going to buy this. And she was like, I don't really think that I don't think that you need a $2,500 guitar.
Why do you guys spend so much money on guitars?
But I was like, of course I need it. And she was like, you are paying somebody right now to build you a custom guitar and you want to buy another one.
Right.
So, yeah.
I went out with this geologist. Oh, wait, he might be listening.
Is this Jean-Luc?
No, another one. But he's this brilliant geologist, but he just keeps buying guitars, more and more guitars, more and more guitars. And he's a scientist. I just don't know why
guys buy
so many guitars. He's really good at it, but I don't get why.
Because it's like having different flavors. You just don't go and eat vanilla ice cream every night. Some nights you want chocolate. Some nights you want Rocky Road. Different guitars have different feels.
I hope you don't feel that way about women, Jackson.
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh,
no,
you don't.
You want your wife's flavor every night. Same flavor.
Nope. Actually, no, yes is the real answer to that.
Yes.
I love my wife.
Sarah's sitting at home with her arms crossed, tapping the foot.
No, I'm very dedicated to my wife. Yeah. How's Lisa? Lisa's doing very well. She will be back next week. Thank you very much for asking. 360. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back to wrap all this up with Sugar Shane Peterson and Lisa Brooks right after this.
Lisa Brooks.
Oh, Catherine Federer. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Time to wrap all this up. A couple of shout-outs. Orion, who sent us a very nice email, is a dedicated listener, and we appreciate Orion very much. And he said that he had a late Zoom driving class that lasts for a while, but he said he'll be listening for the rest of the show from 8:30 on. That's so nice of you to say. And I always like to find, we have like some of the youngest fans, kids like 15 years old.
Yeah, it's kind of a trip that so many young kids like listening to our show.
It's because you're so cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I am. I don't know about you.
Well, I'm very cool. you know.
And then Constance Key always, whenever Saul fills in, she constantly sends a message, where's Jack? So thanks for that. I appreciate that very much. And Saul is such a sweet guy when we went out for burgers last night.
That was nice.
And then he was like, hey, everybody, this is Jack Stein. And that was really awkward because I was like,
he didn't do that. Everybody in the line, he's like, this is Jack Stein from the radio, everybody. Yeah. Everybody just starts looking at you.
I know.
Some guy tried to beat you up.
They're like,
who is
that guy and what's a radio?
Yeah.
So,
the burgers at Dick's, very good. The fries, really good.
Very good. Catherine has a really great radio voice. This is a text message from 206-425 said, I'd submit an application from time on the show. I doubt I would be compatible, but you are fun and a blast to listen to on the radio. Please don't let anyone ruin that fantastic attitude you have. That's so sweet.
Is he talking to you or me?
He's talking to you.
Why aren't we compatible? What did I do? What did I do wrong?
What do you mean?
Why doesn't he think we're compatible?
Because of your history with Jean-Luc. Because of your long and story. Shane, am I off base about this?
Oh, no, not too far off.
No, why would he even like bring up sending in an application? Why even get my hopes up? What's his number?
This is from 425.
425. Hey, Shane, really should we give out the Gmail account in case people want to submit an application to date Catherine Federer?
Yeah, please send in some applications. This would be so much fun. 973nights@gmail.com.
Don't send if you're a drug addict.
I mean, I think that we should just open up all applications.
Yeah, I think we should be. We don't discriminate here.
Yeah, I mean, some of the fellas that are out in the pen, you know, the homies that are locked up listening to us, send in an email or two. You know, we'll see if you're compatible.
Well, if I'm worth it, they'll get clean.
I got another letter from one of our friends in corrections as well. So I was going to read it on air tonight, and we'll save it for tomorrow, but nice enough to write me a handwritten letter, and I say, why not just why not read it on the air and thank this person for contributing to the show? And all the guys in corrections are super nice.
Yeah.
Don't make that face, Catherine Federer.
All these
guys are super nice guys, and they are my buddy Crash is out there. They're all sweet guys, and they just send nice emails, even though they've done horrific things in their lives. They're all very nice guys. And very thoughtful, very philosophical.
They are, yeah. They got a lot of time to sit.
So
and
you
think,
don't
so
want me to go out with
stuff.
Jean-Luc, but you want me to like talk to guys that are in jail.
I mean, Crash is pretty open and doesn't really lie a lot like Jean-Luc does. Crash is a pretty open book.
This is not funny.
This is the problem with Jean-Luc, is that now we know that Jean-Luc is a liar. So that's where everything gets more and more difficult.
I think all men are liars.
Not Crash.
No,
you're
Crash
all probably liars.
Dude.
Let's get you all on some lie detectors, and we'll start asking questions. We'll see how many of you guys come out clean.
So let's figure out what's on everybody's mind. Sugar Shane Peterson, what's going on in your mind tonight?
I've been assigned a job to clean a swimming pool that hasn't been cleaned in 4 years. So your boy's been shoveling. He's been cleaning. He's been blasting chemicals, and I got one more day tomorrow, and then I cannot wait to leave this place. Usually when you do, side jobs, you got other things on the side. If it gets too frustrating after a while, it just becomes not worth it, and you start getting, really frustrated. So I'm just really looking forward to capping off some more work and, coming back in here and doing it again. Finally having Jack in studio has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what's on my mind is that this is so the last time I was in a studio and did a full show in a studio was May 19th of 2019. And so it's been a huge journey for me to go from that to where I am now. And every time I wanted to come in previously, it was always COVID.
Mm-hmm.
COVID. Mm. And because I have such a wonderful home studio, it's like, well, why? After a certain point in time, it's like, why come? But I love actually physically being in a studio. That's what's on my mind. I feel like I do better radio when I'm in the studio. I feel like I can see people.
Well, it's been so fun having you. Everybody, he looks like Mark Ruffalo. You wouldn't know it. And now I know why Shane's hair is green. It's from the pool.
Mm. Yeah, it was a nice light tint, but then I fell in the sludge and then it just won't get out.
Mm. What's on your mind?
Well, I take it back. Not all men are liars. My dad's not a liar. He's a great guy.
Okay.
So, and I'm sure there's some guys out there that aren't liars.
There's a couple guys right here that might be deserving of a nice apology.
Yep. Still waiting.
There's
a couple guys right in front of you that might be deserving of a nice, hey, sorry for being rude. And being condescending and assuming that you're bad people. That'd be, nice.
Okay, we'll get a lie detector test in here, and then we'll reassess.
Okay, that's not an apology.
Still waiting.
All right, well, we have to get out of here. And so for myself, Jack Stein, Sugar Shane Peterson, and Catherine with a K, Federer, we wish everybody a very good night. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole lot more Cairo Nights. And goodbye. I promise.